Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, talking with you today from a balmy, if not downright hot, Vancouver morning about a paper that will be published in the June issue of Medical Education 2016. The paper is called Health Promoting Factors for the Freshman Year of Medical School, a Longitudinal Study. And I'll be speaking with the first author, Thomas Kutter, who's a general practitioner in Germany and works at the Institute for Social Medicine and Epidemiology at the University of Lübeck. Thanks, Thomas, for chatting with me today.
Thanks for inviting me. It's a great pleasure.
Pleasure's mine. I have been in your area, at least nearby, reasonably often, and many ways think of it as a second home. But the reason I wanted to talk with you specifically was because this issue of student well-being, burnout, stress, anxiety, all those related concepts and the impact that medical school has is continuing to be a struggle, an area of primary interest within the medical education field. You obviously saw some need for more research to be done, and I wonder if you could tell our listeners what your primary goal was in conducting this research.
Yeah, my primary goal was to look at the topic of medical students' health from a different perspective. Many authors in the past asked the question, what makes medical students sick, and found out different and interesting things. But my perspective was this time that I wanted to find out what keeps medical students healthy. So this is a kind of different approach, and less studies have been published using this approach.
And so you used the word resilience early in your paper, and I wonder if you can give some of your perspective on what it means to be resilient in this context.
Yes, I think we have to ask ourselves the question why some medical students do succeed in staying healthy during medical education and some don't. And I think there the term resilience comes in, because if you're resilient and have certain temperament factors and resilience factors, but also certain external, like healthy behaviors or social support, you're more likely to succeed in staying healthy during medical education than if you don't have these internal and external resilience factors.
Right, and you just mentioned social support. So there's a literature pre-existing that has had some people looking at these things. Did you go in with any a priori expectations around what you thought would be important? And can you give us some sense as to why and how you tried to push a little bit beyond that pre-existing literature?
Yes, we mentioned the conceptual model of medical students' well-being by Laura Dunn and colleagues early in our paper, and I think this is very illustrative, because the medical student has his own coping reservoir with temperament factors, and you can either fill the coping reservoir with positive factors or drain the coping reservoir by the typical medical school-associated stressors. And what we hypothesized was that positive factors like social support or healthy activity like exercise or mentoring would have a positive effect on the medical student's health during this first year, this freshman year in our study.
And mentioning that freshman year leads me back to the title and specifically the words after the colon. This is a longitudinal study, which is, I think, one of the other features that makes this unique. You're tracking how things changed over time. You asked students to fill out surveys at the start and end of their freshman year, but what led you to choose the particular measurements and variables that you were focused upon?
Yes, we chose very simple outcomes for our longitudinal study, which we can assess over and over again over the course of medical studies in our cohort. So the general health, assessed by a simple question, how would you describe your health in general? And we chose this particular outcome because it is used in studies in the general population as well in Germany, all over the world. So we can compare our data with students from other subjects and the general population. And we also wanted to describe the mental health in more detail. So it shows mental health as assessed by a common questionnaire as well. So we have these two aspects of health, mental health and general health, as outcomes.
Right, and I imagine there is some overlap between those two concepts, and that mental health and
Of
physical
course.
health will have some influence on one another, but your data do seem to have suggested the importance of keeping those things separate because the associative models that evolved were a bit different.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners what you see to be the key findings in terms of what factors were related to each of those concepts?
Yes, I think one of the key findings of our study was that physical activity, doing sports, was such an important predictor for the general health of the students over the freshman year. This is perhaps not very surprising, but for us it's a very important result because this may be a good starting point for health-promoting interventions during medical education.
And just to clarify, when you're talking about the relationship, are you saying that physical activity was predictive of general health overall, or it was predictive of the change from the start to the end of the freshman year?
We controlled for the baseline value of general health, so it kind of is predictive for the change of general health in the freshman year, the physical activity.
Right, okay. I thought it was important to clarify that because it suggests that you're not simply seeing that those who have always been very physically active have greater health than others. But you also found some negative predictors, I believe, of general health. What things seem worth steering students away from if one possibly could?
Yes, we found that striving for perfection was a negative predictor, for instance, for the general health. And I think this is supported by our day-to-day experience with medical students, that those who have a great perfectionism are at greater risk to have their health impaired over medical education. So I think we should tell medical students from the beginning not to be too perfectionistic. Is that the right term?
Sure, yeah, that works.
So that
Well, and that creates a particular challenge, I imagine, in that we want students to strive to achieve and to be as good as they can be. What draws the line in your perception between striving for excellence versus striving for perfectionism?
Yeah, I think there is a difference between healthy perfectionism and striving for excellence and being a good doctor and pathologic perfectionism. And it's difficult to draw the line, as you said, between these two ways to achieve in medical school. But I think it's very important to teach the medical students from the beginning to be aware of this difference.
Again, in terms of raising awareness for the mental health side of things, it seems to have been a different set of variables that were importantly associated with that measure. What were the variables that were important there, and does it make sense to you that you saw different things in each of the two cases?
Yes, for instance, we saw what was at first maybe a little bit surprising, but made sense to us as we thought about it, that the practice of relaxation techniques before the beginning of studies was negatively associated with mental health over the first year. So those who did already practice relaxation technique were the ones that did not stay mentally healthy over the first year. So this was surprising at first, but I think it's plausible if we think about it, because regularly practicing a relaxation technique may be an indicator for already impaired mental health at this stage.
And in addition to that, you already mentioned social support, and there's this concept of emotional distancing as well. How does that tie in with the idea that those relaxation practices might be indicative of change for these students?
I think the concept of emotional distancing is closely related to this perfectionism finding with the general health. So I think it is important for the medical students to be able to distance themselves from their studies from time to time in order to stay healthy. And so this is in line with our finding that those who could distance themselves from medical studies were in better mental health after the first year.
So I might be asking you to put your general practitioner hat on now for a moment rather than your research hat, but when you think of students of the, let's say, the prototype of those who are likely to deteriorate, or even thinking about the prototype of those who are likely to thrive over the first year of medical school, what would your advice be in terms of how to support these students? I imagine some of these things are modifiable and some of them might be more stable characteristics, at least within a constrained context like first year of medicine. Are there things that we can do that you're confident in to try to build resilience?
I think what is very important is to foster awareness about these factors among the medical students. They have to be aware that a certain pathologic perfectionism and a lack of emotional distancing is a risk for their health. Most of the medical students in Lübeck are in good health when they come to our university. They are in good shape, and I think many of them see themselves as invulnerable. But I think it is important to clarify that there are problems and stressors along the way of becoming a doctor, and this is the first important step. And you have to keep making them aware of that fact. And by making them aware, you could help medical students take care of their fellow students because they are aware that a certain kind of eagerness and perfectionism may pose a risk for themselves and for their fellow students. So I think this awareness point is very important in the beginning.
And actually, you have a very interesting take on that. When you first started speaking, my mind flashed to thinking about the people who might perceive themselves as invulnerable, to use the word you said, might be least convinced by efforts to raise awareness that some of the behaviors they might engage could be problematic for them long term. But of course, if raising awareness is about creating some form of community and relational peer-based support system, then that could be a very different style of intervention.
Yes, and I think it's also very important for the faculty to practice what they preach when they raise awareness about vulnerability, because we serve as role models for the medical students, and if we work till we are burned out and see ourselves as invulnerable as doctors, then the medical students will do the same thing.
Right, and now you've really got your work cut out for you. If convincing students is hard, convincing faculty is
Yes,
maybe
yeah.
even more difficult.
But I think we have to address both groups.
I think you're absolutely right. And feel like on that note, I should release you to your evening so that you can yourself feel some work-life balance and not be stuck here talking to me for too long. So I'll thank you again for your time. It's an interesting paper and really appreciate your thoughts on how to help support students, again, maybe by taking advantage of their relationships and support of each other. So I'll just end by reminding our listeners that I've been speaking with Thomas Kutter from the University of Lübeck about a paper called Health Promoting Factors for the Freshman Year of Medical School, a Longitudinal Study. If you'd like more of the details, and I would certainly encourage you to go find them, the paper will be in the June 2016 issue of Medical Education. Thanks again, Thomas, for your time. I know you're a bit nervous about the language, but you did exceptionally well, and I'll look forward to when we get a chance to speak again.
Yes, I look forward to it. Thank you for the opportunity.